Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here in the KE Report. I'm chatting with Eric Wetterling. He is the founder and editor of the Hedgeless Horseman website. Now, Eric, we'll get into a couple companies that you and I actually are both following that recently had some news. But first, let's talk about the overall metal sector, precious metals, that is. And look, gold seems to have, or at least hopefully has, put in a recent bottom here right around 1760. It has bounced nicely in the stocks. They were telling us that the sell-off was maybe getting a little bit long in the tooth. But the fact of the matter is, we're not seeing more or less a V-shaped recovery, and you balance out gold's performance to practically everything else, and gold's underperforming almost everything else around the market. So fine, you can make the argument that some money is due to rotate back into gold, but hey, investors are distracted by almost everything else. Eric, what do you take away from this environment of gold looking like it put in a bottom, but still lagging behind a large number of other assets?
Yeah, I mean, I think you, hit the nail on the head, basically. I mean, everything else is up. So, I mean, there's no one that has any real reason to look elsewhere, because everything else except basically gold, silver, and the miners have been working so far. I mean, even copper is getting a real lift lately, and oil has actually reacted to the upside as well. So, I mean, there's not really much else that, again, is not working right now. So, I mean, nobody gets a good excuse to look elsewhere. But, I mean, since I try to, you know, focus on the micro instead of the macro, I'm still just looking at the valuations out there. And I mean, I still see some really cheap stuff, especially in the junior gold sector. I mean, there are some companies with pretty good projects, etc., which have very low enterprise values. And again, I have no idea when that is going to, you know, revalue closer to what I would consider fair value, but that's not my job either. I mean, I'm just looking for cases where the risk is to the upside, and then I just wait. And I mean, so far over the last 5 years, that has proved to be, you know, a successful strategy. It's just frustrating because, I mean, the cheaper it gets, the obviously the worse sentiment is. And if sentiment gets really bad, that's usually not going to turn on a dime. And I mean, to correlate that to the price of gold, for example, I mean, it's been a 3 to 4 month long grind. And obviously, again, since everything else is working, I mean, I think sentiment is really poor right now, and I don't see that snapping right back, because this wasn't a shock sell-off, basically. This was a grinding correction, and I mean, how many times have investors been disappointed in gold, etc.? So I think it's gonna, you know, might take a while for people to see the attractiveness in gold and the miners again, especially if everything else keeps performing the way it has.
Yeah, well, I have a slightly different look on the sentiment in the sector, because I don't think that it's a bearish sentiment. I think right now it's more of just a neutral and distracted sentiment, simply from some of the messages that I've been getting from listeners and also talking to some of the generalists that I talk to. They're still watching the gold market, but again, they're just distracted by other markets that are performing better. But I do understand the longer term outlook of what should be positive for gold. But man, there's a lot that can happen just in this last month of the year, let alone the next couple months, when we could see some of the maybe stimulus packages coming on stream to drive gold higher. Eric, let's move into some of the companies that you are watching, one being Labrador Gold. I just had an update from Labrador Gold posted earlier this week, and shortly after that update, we got some news out of the company. More surface samples, but some high-grade surface samples. Take us through what caught your eye for the recent news.
I mean, it's pretty simple, really. I mean, if you see they found assay chip samples, and I mean, there was one grade up to 1,065 grams per ton AU. So I mean, obviously something is happening there, and they basically traced this quartz structure for like 400 meters, and 200 meters away from this, you know, insane rock chip sample, they found a sample that graded around 9,950 parts per billion AU in soils. So I mean, there's obviously something going on there, and I mean, as many people might remember, Newfound Gold recently took a stake in Labrador Gold. So I mean, so far it seems that you know there is certainly something going on there, and this you know episodal gold system that is being drilled at Queensway by Newfound Gold. I mean. To me, this looks like, you know, it might actually extend up to onto Labrador Gold's land. And I mean, I own shares, and it's certainly one of those high risk, high rewards, right, reward cases, because they don't have anything close to a resource right now. But it's, I mean, yeah, it's basically if they were to hit, you know, tag an episodal gold system, the high grade zone, for example, which is, I mean, it's a long shot, but that's why you could get, you know, a 10 plus bagger if they're lucky enough to find it. And again, I mean, this tells me that there's a lot of smoke up there, and the hard part is, of course, going to be, you know, to be able to tag a potentially economic zone with the drill bit. But that's what we're waiting for, basically. So I don't expect them to hit, you know, a barn burner hole right off the bat. But obviously now they have a better grasp of where this, you know, structure is, which seems to be gold bearing, because it traces nicely, and it's, you know, it's quartz, and there's basically anomalous gold all the way over that 400 meter corridor.
Yeah, one thing to note is that a lot of the recent news is just surface samples, but they have shown that there is, let's call it, some smoke in the area, and the company does now have a drill on the ground that started almost a month ago. So that will be first pass drilling, and we will get to see some drill results, which could move the stock. One other thing to consider is that Newfoundland broadly does have a lot more attention in it, and there are a lot of neighbors doing work that can also support the stock in times of slow news. Eric, I want to talk about the trading of Labrador Gold, because it really went through a nice pop in about May, June, and July, but ever since that time has been volatile in a sideways nature, and right now trading pretty much right in the middle of that trading range. How would you play a stock that's trading in this pattern?
I mean, the most rational thing to do is, of course, to be in early. So you can actually, you know, I mean, I expected some, you know, improvement in sentiment around this area, especially since I think or I believe that Newfound Gold was going to keep hitting very good intercepts, which they've done, and they have a lot or more drilling to do. So I mean, I think that's gonna continue, which is obviously acting like a tailwind for Labrador Gold, which is the closest neighbor to the north of the Keats zone and the other zones that have been you know, hit with the drill bit and shown very good grades over what seems to be, you know, solid mineable widths. But again, going into assay results, that's gonna be, I mean, as it usually is, pretty hit or miss. Either they're going to, you know, exceed expectations and it will go up, or they will, you know, underperform expectations, I guess, and it's going to go down. So the question is, okay, what's your risk profile, for example? And I mean, let's say they hit something really good. I mean, there's no way that the stock is going to, first of all, the stock is probably going to go on a tear in that case, and that's not going to, you know, revalue within one trading day, for example. So I mean, honestly, the best risk reward, I think, is for these places to play it like, okay, have a, you know, a modest position which you're comfortable with, you know, and knowing that you could see it go down 30% in a day, I mean, easily. But at the same time, be ready on the lookout if they drill something of real, you know, something really significant, to, you know, basically be ready to jump in, because that's not going to, one hole is not going to make a deposit, but at the same time, it's not going to be disproven to be a deposit within the next week or so, or weeks. So, I mean, I think that usually leads to us speculative mania after any company basically hits a barn burner hole, etc. And if it is what it looks like, that should continue to go up. And usually, I mean, if you hit something really good on the first tries, etc., that probably, I mean, based on balance of probabilities, that probably suggests that it's a, I mean, really good system and not that you were just extremely lucky. Like, for example, Newfound Gold, which have just kept on hitting really, really good grades. And that's, I think, is a testament that their system is quite robust. And I mean, until they drill it off or whatever, I mean, it's just, kept on running basically. And since this is a smaller market cap company, obviously it has more, leverage to the upside in case they find a similar discovery. But I would not, I mean, I own the stock, but I would not, be plowing in just hoping to get rich, by next drill as a result, basically. So I would, again, play it kind of cool and calm and simply be ready to maybe, push the envelope in case they actually find something really good on, this early on.
Yeah, well, you know what? There seems to be smoke here because of the surface samples, and the company does have a RAB drill program ongoing. So, hey, that could provide some catalyst if they do hit early on. Let's also talk about another company you and I were discussing off mic, that is Inflection Resources. I have had Inflection Resources on the show a couple times. They are focused in Australia on a number of different projects, but they too have also shown some surface samples and some drilling actually that looks interesting. Take us through what caught your eye and some of the updates here that you're watching.
Yeah, I mean, this is really a numbers game for me. I mean, I've done a few articles on Inflection Resources where I lay out, different scenarios, what the probability of success would be and what the expected value would be, etc. And I mean, just the fact that they've had they're drill testing 20 targets, and so far they have tested 10 targets. And as is stated in the recent news release, it says 5,356 meters of drilling have now been completed, testing 10 targets. Seven of these targets are porphyry targets, two are intrusion-associated targets, and one a mesothermal vein target. It is highly encouraging to report that six targets have returned significant alteration and minor copper mineralization, which warrant follow-up drilling. So, I mean, if they have a 60% hit rate in terms of, finding something that they maybe hope to, find, I mean, excluding drilling, drilling right into a deposit in the first tries, I mean, that's quite telling that their approach, their geophysical approach, etc. I mean, it's being directed by probably the most impressive technical team I've ever seen in a junior, because it's made up of a bunch of ex-senior BHP people. And again, so far, I mean, this tells me that there's certainly proof of concept that their geophysical approach works, but they haven't, yet at least gotten into, the heart of whatever system they're drilling. At least I assume that's the case. But anyway, I mean, it's just mind-boggling because if you basically assume a given, price in terms of, okay, what would it be worth to find a Macquarie Arc porphyry system, for example. I mean, if you look at Koval, Northparkes, and Cadia, I mean, their value range from, I don't know, at least 1 billion up to, I think Cadia was valued at around 6 billion in 2016 or something. So, I mean, these are some giant targets they're finding. And as they state, I mean, they're only after tier one targets. And if you look at the insider and management ownership, that's really high. So, obviously, these guys aren't going to be bullshitting themselves. So they're not going to, drill for drilling's sake, because that's going to, go out of their pocket if they're wasting money and time on stuff that really isn't warranted to be wasting time on. So when they say they have 6 out of 10 targets that looks, encouraging based on first pass drill results, I believe them. And in that case, I mean, this stock is not pricing in anything, and it's one of the biggest enigmas for me personally. And I've just, continued to buy because, I mean, nothing, I mean, a chance of success per target, what's priced in that department might be, I don't know, point. I did the numbers actually, but I don't remember now, theoretical, of course. But I mean, it's such a low chance of success priced in that these guys would not get out of bed if that was even, you know, slightly or even, you know, in the ballpark of what they expect, and who would know better than them. So it's just a, you know, a numbers game in my opinion, because it's nothing is really priced in. So I mean, some people say that, oh, it's boring. I mean, it looks interesting, but they haven't hit anything. But I mean, sure, that's true. But I mean, okay, they're drilling 20 targets, 6 of them are worth following up. I mean, one day they might hit something, and at this valuation, it's not like I'm even, you know, risking much, at least per target. And then they're starting to drill their project, their Caron Gold project in Queensland, I think. So I mean, this one stock is going to have more targets tested than, you know, 10 juniors put together, basically. And nothing is priced in terms of, you know, no hype, no expectations of them finding anything. And if there were any guys that you would expect to find something, it would be this team. And they're only after, you know, at least, you know, per themselves, only after tier one targets. So, I mean, it's one of the biggest no-brainer grassroots exploration plays I've ever seen, just based on math.
Well, and that's the key thing too, right? This is grassroots, and I actually do like the company's strategy of simply going out here and testing a lot of these targets. They have a lot of targets, and they're taking a drilling some cheap drilling strategy here to test out these targets and then further filter. So, hey, if anybody has any follow-up comments or questions on either of the companies we discussed here, please feel free to email me, fleck@kereport.com. Eric, just a quick comment. Please let us know which of these companies you own.
Yes, I own both companies, and both companies are banner sponsors of the Hedgeless Horseman. So do your own due diligence.
Absolutely. Always do your own due diligence. But Eric, good chatting with you, buddy. Thank you for shedding some light on some of the stocks that you hold that have come out with news recently. It's nice to see some more news hitting this market. Eric, have a great rest of your week. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Corey. The same to you.